In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You get the sense the last few weeks that things seem to be getting darker and darker, and it's not just the light outside before the early service. You're not wrong. This is the very end of the season after Pentecost. In some traditions, Advent goes a little longer than the 4 weeks we're used to, the full 6 weeks. So we're into that almost Advent. And Advent traditionally has been about last things, about the eschaton, the end of time. And it's kind of appropriate, because in addition to our growing darkness in the northern part of the Western Hemisphere, or Northern Hemisphere, we also seem to live in a world that has gone crazy. I'm referring particularly to the Friday's attacks in Paris that killed 129 people. But I could also mention Beirut, where 43 were killed. And then there's the local ones, about 2 murders a week lately in the paper in the Syracuse area. And then there's the behavior of some police departments in some of our country's big cities. Sex trafficking going on along the interstates practically under our noses. Parts of whole countries like Mexico being run by drug cartels. Imminent extinction of hundreds of species due to global warming, and also due to greedy and weak, corrupt enforcement of laws by governments and officials that want to make a buck. Sometimes even happens in our own country. And yet we just can't continue. And Jesus is preaching the end of the world. No one knows when it'll come. The disciples have seen enough to really wonder about the signs, though. They want to know what those signs of the end would look like. False messiahs and false prophets will appear. Bad things will happen without warning. No one can predict when that will appear. But everything comes to an end. Our gospel text today describes what was on the imminent horizon for the community of Mark's gospel. The gospel was, most scholars believe, written just before the destruction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem by the Romans in response to an uprising. It was an unthinkable event for the Jewish people. Absolute destruction and devastation. The very seat of the Lord God Almighty, the temple at Jerusalem, would be utterly destroyed. It took the Romans 18 months to take it apart. Think about it. One would no longer be able to go make the proper sacrifices, the proper offerings to remove sin, or to redeem one's firstborn, or to thank God for mercies given. The safe place where God is no longer safe. And God can't be found there anymore. When, they ask Jesus. And Jesus answers not with a date or time, but with a description of a world gone mad, full of danger, betrayal, the upheaval of society. Not quite what they asked for. And Jesus gives such a baffling and troubling description of how they'll know it's imminent. Not the answer they're looking for. Things are just not always what they seem to be. Keep awake, Jesus says, just after our passage today. What kind of advice is that? Now, there's a guy in New York City subway station about 33rd Street preaching every day about the end of times at the top of his lungs, and he thinks he knows exactly when it's happening, but I don't quite see it that way. Keep awake. Well, maybe that's what we need to do. Keep our eyes open because, in fact, things are not always what they seem to be. When we fail to keep awake, when we fail to see the sufferings of our neighbors, especially those neighbors we don't usually pay much attention to, when we failed to see the helpers. But Fred Rogers, of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, said that his mother always told him, when scary things happen, look for the helpers. There are always helpers. The helpers, like the Sikh temple in Paris, they opened their doors to anyone needing shelter after the attacks caused transportation shutdowns and everyone was asked to shelter in place. The helpers. Describing the events in 70 AD, when the Jewish uprising was put down and the temple destroyed, the first century writer Josephus wrote that the soldiers showed no mercy to those who were still alive. The city had been put under siege, and some had already starved, but the ones still alive, they showed no mercy, killed everyone, set fire to the houses. It was an effort to wipe out the rebellion, destroy any chance of any future rebellion, by destroying the very identity of the people, their culture, and their religion. And those people are different from us now. The approach of the kingdom of God may not look like what we expect. The eschaton, literally the end times, might look like this. With 129 people and their families in Paris, the end times just arrived this week. How are we supposed to know? The disciples' question is a really good one. How do we know? Well, sometimes we do when it happens. You could ask it all, what's your own end times? What loss and devastation has occurred in your life? Loss of a job, a beloved, a child, marriage, house. When the rebellion in Jerusalem was put down and the temple destroyed, people, including Christians, the early historians tell us, fled the city. They went out, way out, beyond the edge of nowhere, beyond what they knew, in the hope of escaping, in the hope of being safe. And it's out there, beyond nowhere, beyond what we know, beyond the way it's always been done, or what's safe or prudent or normal. It's out there where Jesus meets us. When our world's gone, or our world's gone mad, Jesus meets us out there, where he does something new and strange. Out there beyond hope, beyond the worst that can be imagined. Out where we, like Jesus on the cross, wonder if God's checked out and gone home. Our very own end times, whatever they are. Those things that feel like the absolute devastation of our dreams and hopes and expectations. It's out there beyond the